Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Thursday, August 29th, 2019. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart? You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 370. There's no guests. It's just me talking to you in my apartment, on my couch, into a microphone. It's almost 6 o'clock. I just got home not too long ago. And I apologize once again for the late posting. But I've been really busy. I've been working hard, trying to earn money to support myself and my cheeseburger habit. An action figure habit and my sneaker habit. I'm trying to pay the bills and been making some moves, young. Just making some moves. And I'll tell the Patreon folks, I'm going to be very cryptic on this feed. I'll just say I've been really busy for the past few months. I've shot a couple TV shows, one that I appeared on, and then one that I had appeared on before. And the second one is a show that I auditioned for a bunch of times. And I finally got booked a part and shot that yesterday. This is pretty cool because about two weeks ago, I auditioned for a part for this TV show that I always auditioned for. And I go on a Friday and go in. They said, oh, that was great. Head home. And later on, they say, oh, we're going to send your info to the producers. They're going to check it out, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, cool. I've heard that song and dance before. All good. It's fine. So later on that night, I get a call. I'm like asleep and I wake up and I see all these calls on my phone from my manager, and they say, hey, you remember the blah 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 show that you did a year or two ago? And I was like, yeah. And they said, they want you to come back. You don't have to audition. They're offering you the role. And I was like, are you available? I'm like, yeah, I'm available. And and I shot that last Friday. So the same day that was confirmed, I found out about the Little Brother album coming out. So that was a pretty great Monday. And I shot that last Friday. So it's pretty cool to start my weekend off by filming something on a Friday. I think that might have been one of the first Fridays I filmed something, I want to say. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's always a good feeling to do something. And did overtime. It was a long shoot. I shot early in the morning. They were shooting multiple scenes. It was shot in a studio in Brooklyn out in Greenpoint. And traffic. So because it was a long shoot, I didn't have to sit in traffic like Friday evening rush hour. My call time was like at 7:30. Ended up leaving at 9:30. But that's the showbiz, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So it was pretty fucking cool to be asked back on a show. I'm going to tell the Patreon folks about it, but the Patreon people, you cannot talk about it. We can talk about it via email or something, or, you know, the Patreon comment thing or whatever, you know. Anyway, so that was really cool. And yesterday I shot a thing that did an episode of a show that I had auditioned for a bunch of times, and they were giving me the runaround. And there were certain restrictions and blah, blah, blah. And I finally booked the part. And I was super happy to do that. And very fucking cool. And can't wait to share it when it comes out. share the dates and all that good shit. So that was the reason why the podcast was late for the past couple weeks. And then it's just, I've just been really busy trying to work on things and dealing with life stuff. But we want to talk about some stuff. We'll do a Fat Boy Corner. We'll talk about the Dave Chappelle special, talk about some movies. And I think that's it. So Fat Boy stuff, so the chicken sandwich is out. The Popeyes sold out of them. The supplies have been depleted. And I guess they're going to come back in full force. I would assume that this would be, is this bigger than the new McRib? Or you didn't have social media back then when the McRib was out. You had the TV commercial. I don't know. I pose that question to you. I mean, I can remember the McRib. I wasn't fond. I think maybe my mom or dad got it once. But my dad's always been like a hot dog guy. He would always get two hot dogs from Hardee's whenever we were going in like North Carolina and stuff. He'd go to the specific Hardee's in South Boston. And before I was a finicky eater, and now I just fucking eat. I don't eat anything, but I just eat a lot of one thing. I'm not too much of a anyway. Whatever. They would get ham biscuits from Hardee's, and they liked that stuff. I wasn't really too keen on it. I would just wait until it was lunchtime, and they would take me to McDonald's on those trips. And then one year we'd start going to Sonic, and that's when Sonic wasn't very big in the Southeast, I guess, because there was one that popped up in Richmond that was fantastic. Like, they used to come out on the roller skates. Not all Sonics do that, but that was a really good Sonic, and those burgers were good. My mom and dad, I think my mom was more of a, she's more of like a chicken sandwich person, and she liked the fish filet from McDonald's. And then I was a cheeseburger guy. But I remember that being good. And the last time my parents and I went to North Carolina a few years ago, we stopped at the Sonic in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And that was like some of the best Sonic. That kind of took me back to when I was a kid and we used to go. That was really good. And it hasn't been, I think the last time I went, it just wasn't that good. It just hasn't been that good anymore. I don't know. I told you guys about the story when the Sonic first opened up here in Hasbrook Heights, and there were lines like wrapped around, and some dude ran over, the police officer was like guarding the entrance, and some dude ran over a police officer's foot. It was really crazy. I enjoyed it, but the food wasn't that good. Why am I talking about that? I would just say that I'm asking you guys, is this chicken spicy chicken sandwich from Popeyes, is it as big? Is it a size? I think it's a good sandwich. I think it's actually a really good sandwich. I tried the, and Andy Klein even told me, this was a couple of weeks ago, he told me that he liked the Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich. So a couple of days ago, I tried that for the first time, and I did like it. It's a solid sandwich. I don't think it's better than Popeyes, though. I think Popeyes is undisputed. And as far as Chick-fil-A is concerned, I think maybe, I always liked the spicy chicken biscuit from Chick-fil-A. If you've seen me do stand-up, I used to have a bit about that I was kind of bringing back, but now I might have to tweak it, but it's not the same anymore. The bun makes the brioche bun in the Popeyes thing makes it good. That adds to it too. But Chick-fil-A, I mean, I could take it or leave it. Maybe one day I'll go and try one, but I just remember liking those biscuits, and there was a time where sometimes I would get up early on a Saturday and go, well, I'd be on the road and I'd get one. Or there's one time I when I went to visit my parents for a little bit, and I got us breakfast from Chick-fil-A. After I think I was at, yeah, and then it was pretty good. It's fine, you know. There's a really funny video of a friend of the podcast, Al Jackson, who is one of the hosts. Oh my God. He's a host of a morning show. What is it? What's the name of his show? I showed a coworker this, where they're taste testing what's the name of his show? Daily Blast Live, where they do a taste test, and Al asked one of his white co-anchors, who's never tried Popeyes before. He was like, "Oh my God, this tastes really good." Al is obviously black, and the white guy's like, "Oh, this is really good. I've never been to Popeyes before." And then Al says, "Does it taste like a neighborhood you've never been to?" And it's so funny. And I showed that to my coworker, and he just fell out laughing. Almost fell on the floor. He was crying. I'll retweet that. Yeah, I'm gonna retweet it now, and then put it on Facebook, and put it on fucking the podcast feed too. That was really funny. So when it comes back, I hope it just gets to a normal state where people can get it if they enjoy it. You know, when it comes back, I don't think Popeyes could have anticipated it being this big. But yeah, the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's is good. It's a good alternative. Might even be, is it better than and people in the Hot Firestarter crew, those cats were talking about the Impossible Burger, and apparently the Impossible, so they were saying it was good. I don't know if it was Bob or Kenny that said that, but either way, they were saying it was good. And I have had a Beyond Burger, and I was not impressed. A Beyond Burger doesn't even taste as good as a Boca Burger. So the Impossible Burgers, I know that a place like Bear Burger has them. And I know it's like the plant-based, vegetarian, vegan, whatever burger. And Burger King has that, and I might have to try it. I may have to try that junk, you know? But I'll give you a good recipe. You get you some Boca Burger. You get a pack of Boca Burgers. It's like four of them. And one of my homies that's a vegetarian told me about them. Told me about this recipe. You get some Boca Burgers. You put them in the microwave for a little bit. You put them in. Then you chop them up. And you put them in a skillet. You get you some green peppers and some onions, and you put some seasoning on it, and you get you slice up a tomato, and you make yourself a sandwich. You make yourself like, you can make it in any, you can make it like a Philly cheesesteak, like a hoagie or whatever the people call it in your region, a hoagie, a hero, a sandwich. I used to put it on wheat toast. You get you a little mayo or some mustard, whatever you desire, and you make a sandwich out of it. It's really good. And you get yourself some chips or a pickle. That's a good hearty meal. Also with that, you get yourself some mushrooms too, and you chop them up and you put it in there in that concoction. That's really good, and it's healthy too. Didn't think you'd get that from a Fat Boy Corner, did you? You motherfuckers. Oh my God. Yeah, so that was good. Last week I forgot to tell you guys that a month or two ago, I forgot to tell you. So my barber, he got a PlayStation 3 in his shop. And I'm seeing like the games that he's got a couple games. And I'm looking at the screen is on pause. So he's giving me a haircut. I said, that looks like the pause screen to The Last of Us. And I'm looking at it. I was like, what game is that? He's like, oh, it's this game called The Last of Us. My barber's like, I think he's in his 50s. I think he's like in his early 50s. And he just said, yeah, somebody gave it to me. Some guy, he couldn't pay for a haircut. So he just gave me his PS3 and some games. And then he said, this woman gave him, he's got a lot of ladies. This woman gave him some games. I was like, The Last of Us. I said, oh man, that's the best game ever. It's the best game ever made. And I was like, yeah, I beat it twice. The thing is, he had a PlayStation 3, and I hadn't played a PlayStation 3 since 2015, really. So like in pretty much 4 years when I got my PS4 in like February of 2015. And I said, where are you? And I didn't want to spoil anything. And I could see that he had Ellie with him, and he had, damn, that's messed up. I talk about this fucking game so much that I'm not remembering the woman. That's bad. And I sound like a fucking asshole. No, because you know I like female characters in video games. So the most downloaded episode was me talking about female heroines in video games. So you can't cancel me. Not on that. What is her name? I just think about Joel and Ellie so much that I don't really. Don't they have characters? Oh man, what is her name? Oh, it's Joel. Tommy. Sarah's daughter. Oh my God, where's her? There's Marlene. Oh my God, why? This is bad. Where is? I'm getting this character. Tess. Tess is like one of the main characters. So there was Joel, Ellie, and Tess, and I'm playing a game, and I had to get gain my bearings, and I kept dying, and like you know, like people were watching me. So I kind of had that pressure. I might have told you guys about this, where I told you about a time where I played my manager in NBA Live or something in Best Buy like years ago, like a long ass time ago. And so they were watching me play, and I kept dying and stuff. And it was like it always got loud when every time a clicker like bit my head off and shit. But I eventually got past this part, and he was like, and I felt cool. And then time just kind of slipped away. And I was like, oh, shit, I need to go. So that was about a month ago. And so he's giving me a haircut. We're talking. We're catching up. I hadn't seen him in a month because I was letting my hair grow, trying to see what would happen, see if I could still let it grow at somebody that's approaching 40. And then he's like, I got real far on the game. I was like, oh, word? I was like, damn. I was like, yo, I'm proud of you, man. Like, he got super far. I didn't know my barber was a nerd. Like he got super far. So he got to the part where right about maybe you had less than an hour left in the game where the hardest part to me in The Last of Us for you nerds that have played is when you're in the abandoned subway station and you got to fight off. I think you might have to fight at least two bloaters at the end, and there's like a runner and a couple clickers that you got to kill. And if you have the flamethrower, you can, you know, finish them off and shit like that. And I didn't know how to switch, and he did have the flamethrower. But anyway, I ended up getting past that, and I felt really cool because he's like, oh man, you know, you. And so I just kept playing this fucking game, and I get to the end, and I'm about to beat it because I want to flex. And I had gotten like the last level of the game is like you get to the hospital, and I think it's in Utah, but you get to the hospital, and then like you have all these snipers and these goons trying to shoot you. And I got fucked up so bad that Joel was limping. So by the time I got to Ellie and grabbed her and picked her up from the tape, from the operating table, he was limping. And then everybody was like catching me and shooting me right before I could get to the elevator. And I think that's a glitch in the game. So I didn't save. I just made my own little save thing. And then he texted me like a couple days later. It was like, I beat it. And he showed me the screen. But I ended up playing that motherfucker for a couple hours after I got my hair cut. That's just a testament to how great that game is and engrossing it is. And part of it's my ego, too. Like, I was definitely ego tripping up. I'm going to beat this, and I'm going to show these people that I'm fucking cool. And, yeah, so I can't wait until this game comes out. I'm super excited. So what I hear is a couple days ago, I want to say Tuesday, there was a leak that the GameStop managers, there was some convention where the managers at GameStop and some other people got to see footage from the game, like gameplay footage. So I think we're getting there. And I think what the homie on YouTube, Tajay, I think his name is Tajay, and I think he's accessible enough that I can get him on the show and we can talk about the game. So I think I'm gonna reach out to that dude. And yeah. So anyway, that they saw the game and people were talking about it, and the hype is for this thing is building, and I think we're probably gonna get more information when outbreak day happens. So I think it's like September. I think it's September of this year, September like 26th or something like that, where we find out, and they're probably gonna show some footage from the game, and we'll probably get a trailer to tide us over until the game comes out in like early next year, probably in February. So that was my nerd event that I had of the year. Not of the year, but of the last couple weeks. So that was that. I was driving home one day. I was driving to home from like a costume fitting from one of the shows that I worked on, Light Flex. It's not really a flex. But I was driving home, and I was in traffic. It was a shit show. And this guy, you know how you're in a lane and somebody tries to merge in, and like they're not gonna, you've done the work, or you've put in the time of being in this lane and sitting in this lane all the time before God knows how long, and there's like somebody that tries to, like, you know, go to the side of you and on the oh my God, what's wrong with my vocabulary right now? On the side of the road, and they try to cut you off and get in front of you. The guy that was in front of me did like this little hezzy, like he did like a fake. He like juked him out, like acted like he was going to hit the guy, and then he came back in, and that dude that was trying to cut in backed up. I'd never seen anything like that. It was like a little stutter step. Like the guy did like a stutter step with his car, like defensive driving type shit that I thought was like, I thought it was fucking funny. I don't, and you guys are probably yelling at me as I'm talking about this, but I cannot for the life of me, I can't think of what it is. What's that lane? It's not a lane, but it's the side of the road. It's not the median. It's not the, oh my God. The shoulder. I guess that's what you call it. The shoulder of the road. And he tried to creep in. Yeah, that's what he did. He blocked them out. I thought that was funny. I don't know if that's funny for the pot. It was probably more funny of me trying to remember what the shoulder of the road is than the whole situation. But maybe you got something out of that. Look, I've worked hard for the past few weeks. Months, actually, and I'm trying to deliver you a podcast on the holiday weekend, the last holiday weekend before Thanksgiving. So I'm trying really hard to provide you with some free content that you didn't ask for and you're not paying for. So just fucking deal with it. All right. So what else? The Dave Chappelle special, Sticks and Stones. So, like a nerd, I was super excited to see the Dave Chappelle special. I enjoyed the past four of them. The past four, I want to say. He did two in one day. The Age of Spin, Deep in the Heart of Texas, Bird Revelation, and the other one he did. So that was four. So I enjoyed all those. Some I liked more than the others, than others. And then he did Sticks and Stones. So I happened to be up on my... Sunday's really weird. Sunday's a weird night because you kind of... You want to enjoy this prestige television and you stay up, you kind of take a nap because it's Sunday and you, it's just like one of those weird days. You know, you got to go to work the next day and then you find yourself waking up and watching one of those prestige shows. Then like, oh, I got enough time. I'm going to go to sleep. You go back to sleep. And then I ended up waking up like right before 3 o'clock. So 3 o'clock East Coast time, 12 a.m. West Coast Pacific Standard Time is when new stuff premieres on Netflix. So I was like, I'm going to be up. Fuck it. I'm going to watch this Dave Chappelle. I want to see it and process it before the tweet storm, before everybody's like, I fucking hate it. I'm disappointed in you, Dave. Before all that could happen, I watched it and I really enjoyed it. I really liked the thing that I liked. I don't know, maybe I don't want to say that I'm to a certain degree. I feel like we're being spoiled in a way. I'm not going to say we. I'm going to say I feel like I'm being spoiled because I just kind of like the timeliness of these specials. And this one in particular, because he addressed school shootings. He addressed suicide, opioids, gun control, guns, schools, all that stuff. And I appreciated that part about it. That I was almost like, damn, I wish he would kind of, because he is so gifted and talented, it would be nice to just kind of hear his take on a lot of these issues quarterly, like maybe once or twice a year, to just kind of like, oh, this thing happened in the first 6 months that happened to in the world, and this thing happened, and then he comments on those things. And I thought, I really liked that. I really appreciated the structure as a comedy nerd, how he would bring things back, the callbacks and all that stuff. I know a lot of people were upset about that. They said he doubled down on the gay and trans issues, and I think he did. I think that's him, you know, sticking his tongue out. He more than doubled down on a lot of the issues that everybody was up in arms over. I liked it. The special as a whole, I liked it, and I'm not going to try to tell you how to feel about it. Because I'm assuming everybody that listens to this show is an adult and they can make up their own decisions if they want to. But I would say that, like, you know, a lot of the material when it comes to the trans stuff, and I'm a comic, I'm not going to be like, he shouldn't say that. If I disagreed with some of it, I wasn't really... Like, there were certain bits I was like, did you need to do that? That's kind of sophomoric. And I see where he kind of gave himself cover by, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but I maybe if I have another comic on and we're talking, I can maybe expound on it. But I could see how he kind of gave himself cover. But then at the same time, it's like, dude, really? That's something that, like, kind of an open micer would say, and you're getting away with it because you're Dave Chappelle. And it's kind of like, I understand the power. It's a clip that that Hotepi people are sharing. And it's like, I get it, but it's like, that's not the point. That's kind of archaic and it kind of doesn't work. The whole, the nigger faggot joke that he has where it's like, yeah, you can also be gay and black. But I'm not going to chastise him for saying it. It's just like, felt like you could have did better there, buddy. But he's one of the best to ever do it. I really, I enjoyed more than 90% of the special. It was some parts that I was just like, And then you find stuff like that in everything. There's probably 15% of this podcast that you don't like. Some of what I do. But comics cannot get mad. You always have you're always going to get critiqued. No matter what you do, no matter what you put out there, you're going to get critiqued. And shout out to Luisa Diaz, who is a comedy booker. She had this post showing clips from like newspaper clippings from 1958 and 1945 and 1960 about, you know, are we killing, is comedy, you know, what is this? Are we killing laughter? Audience too thin skin nowadays, comedian claims. December 17th, 1958. My mom's birthday. Thoughtless funny men, like talking about, who is he talking about? I can't see. I'll retweet this too. And you can look at it. I'll retweet it on the mundane. I'll retweet it on both feeds actually. And yeah, you're always going to get, anytime art is presented, it's going to get critiqued, and it can get critiqued. So I really don't have a problem with that. But, I thought it was funny. I thought it was interesting how he handled, like he went in and, that's what you do. That's what he does. Would I have done certain things differently? Probably. But I'm not Dave Chappelle. And if you don't like it, it's fine. And there's the thing that frustrates me about all of this is the fact that what frustrates me the most? The fact that people kind of wait around to come out with these think pieces and stuff. You can do them, but it's just like, it's only when a famous guy puts out something, because there are those people that are ready to take them down. And then people like have these, it's always like every time a special comes out, at least ever since Dave started releasing these specials, it's been like all these like virtue signalers. And it just becomes a little annoying, and like this grandstanding and all this stuff. And it's like, ugh, really? I would like, and it just seems like it's only relegated to him. Granted, he's one of the best to ever do it. He's an iconic figure. But I'd like to see some of that like highlighted at up and coming comedians. Take myself out of the equation. You put me, this is me talking as a fan of the art form. I'm a fan, like there's terrific comics that I'm surrounded by in the comedy community that are funny. Like Shalewa Sharp has an album out called So You Just Out Here. She's her second album. First album, Stay Eating Cookies. Like she's really funny. The album's really fucking good. I woke up, I didn't buy it the first week because I was low on funds. But when I got paid, I bought the shit. I bought it on Amazon. And I texted her. I was like, Shalewa, good fucking job. I was like, good job. This is my receipt to let you know I bought it. I'm not one of these fake motherfuckers out here. That's all right. Anyway. It's good. It's really good. I would like to see more people get highlighted from the funny things that they're doing. That I'm not saying she's on the level of Chappelle, but I'm saying that she's really funny and she deserves to be listened to also. And I think while we're crying about this, while people on both sides I think I have issues with people on both sides of this Chappelle argument. I just think there's other people that are dope out there that are funny. Like Roy Wood came out with a special. It came out, some people watched, and then that was it, you know? My buddy Paul Verzey had as a specialist finally. I mean, it's a lot, but that was November, but it was close to the end of the year. It hasn't been out a year yet, you know? Watch him. Watch and listen to some of these people that have been on the podcast. You can look and see how, you can hear them on this thing. They're not trying to be funny. A lot of times they are without trying, but they have projects out that, and these people are funny. You should go see them. Go see live comedy. Use this as an opportunity to go see other people that are funny. Find somebody that you like and support them, as opposed to just trying to say, well, look what he did there. He doubled down. He's not going to learn. And I'm never going to listen to you, Dave, ever again. I know you told me. I know you said we clicked on your face, but we clicked on your face and we don't like what you said. And you're a hypocrite because you left the show because you didn't like how white people were laughing at you. And then you left. And then you're coming back. And you're coming back and saying things that are questionable to other people who have been marginalized. And I fucking hate you. You know? I would say, it's the same thing every time. It's been like this for the past, when did he start releasing? Was that 2017? One of them came out on New Year's. Two of them came out. I can't remember. I guess it's hard to keep up. But within the last couple of years, people have just been finding, like, you just kind of, I was glad that I had that time with the special, the day, like the day and a half, 2 days to just like process it. Cause I watched it close to three times and it's just like some, I was like, oh, I like the way I just really was like enjoying it as a comedy nerd and everything like that, as a fan, and how can I make myself better as a comic? And how can I talk about certain issues? How can I get better? How can I do the things that take the things that I like from the special and apply it to my act, and leave the stuff that I don't care for by the wayside? I mean, that's kind of how I process a lot of things, like as an actor, as a person in general, like the things that, you know, as somebody who's observant, who is a self-proclaimed observer of society and all that good stuff. I think that's just a more healthy way to look at it. And if it's something that offends you and it makes you feel bad, I wouldn't watch it. But at the same time, I do respect the people that were once fans of his that also are disappointed. But then you kind of have to move on. It's okay for you to move on. I see a lot of people that have done that, and I can respect that, you know. But as a podcaster, I'm a person who participates in the art form, at you can say, well, you ain't be doing it like Dave, and all. You can say what you will, but I've dedicated at least 10, right as it stands right now, as I'm breathing right now, somebody who spent 10 years dedicated 10 years of his life to this craft. I know that's like a drop in the bucket compared to some of my contemporaries. No, that's 10 years. I put 10 years into this, and I can speak with some authority on it too. And I've made strangers laugh in rooms before. If it makes you feel bad, I would say don't watch that shit, man. There's plenty of stuff that you can enjoy. I recommend right now Chalet with Sharp. So You Just Out Here. Buy it. You know, she's been on the show. Listen to her episode. She and I talked, nerded out about, we talked about comedy, but we nerded out about St. Vincent for a couple hours. I got to get her back on the show, man. Yeah, it's so much good content out there, and especially from a lot of comedians that are looking for a break, looking for an opportunity to be heard. And I would say try to focus on that. Watch Tim Miller on Comedy Central. Tim Miller, formerly of Three Guys On, now on the Read the Room podcast. Check out these people, man. Buy these albums. Listen to Randolph. I know some of you guys have already, you are probably have the albums, and listen to Randolph, listen to Blue Magic, listen to Andy Klein's Vintage, listen to Rick Younger's two albums. You know, there's a lot of people out here that may not be household names that are really funny. And I've dedicated 6 years of my life to talk about that stuff. I think the mission, the unofficial mission statement of this show is to talk about the things that I like, people that I find interesting, people that have made interesting career choices. They're doing things that are not necessarily, they take paths that other folks haven't taken or some that are not as common as other people. I had David Vonner, a black toy maker, black toy designer, on the show. Interesting guy, really cool guy. Try to do that, you know. So you have to do some of the legwork yourself, you know. You got to do some of that. And I think that's what I stress. I know I'm most likely speaking to the choir when it comes to these things, but I would be remiss if I did not comment about this special. But overall, over 90% of this stuff, I really appreciated. I was pleasantly surprised by the epilogue. Now, I know people had issues with that, but I was like, huh, interesting. I like the way that he handled a lot of those questions and those interesting stories and takes. He's a great storyteller. And I think and at the same time, I'll say, where greatness is shown, damn, I was trying to sound deep. When you show greatness like Dave Chappelle shows and exhibits, more is expected of you. And I think that's where a lot of people have issues with them. It's like, can't you just upgrade that software a little bit? I thought I saw glimmers of it in the epilogue more so than the actual special. But yeah, it's okay for you to like what you like. And what's not okay is to try to, what I don't like is people trying to shit on other people for feeling a certain way if they disagree. It's just like, okay, just when it comes to something like this, you know. And buy Shalewa Sharp's album. So you just out her. What else do I want to talk? Let's talk about a couple movies and I'll leave you be with the rest of your life until the next time that I talk with you. I saw Angel Has Fallen. Now you say, Chris, why would you do that? I said, you know, I wanted to do it because it's so the new AMC, the AMC in Hackensack that's been around for at least 2 years, I want to say. They just opened their Dolby Theater, and they opened it with Hobbs and Shaw, which I had already seen, and I wasn't really pressed to see it in Dolby. So I just said to myself, I'll wait until something else comes out and I'll, you know, experience it that way. And part of me was like, over the weekend, I was like, do I want to see it? I had bought a ticket, you know, I had scheduled, reserved a seat. Then I took it, then I canceled it. I think I did it twice. And then Sunday, I had lunch with a buddy I hadn't seen in a while. And I was like, I was leaving him, heading back to Jersey. And I was like, should I go see it? It's in Dolby. I just want to check it out. Dolby is my favorite type of theater to see a movie in. The last thing I saw in Dolby was Spider-Man Far From Home. I'm pretty interested in seeing what the new, what the director's cut is going to be like. I don't know if I'm that, I don't know if that I want to see it again in the theater, because I've seen it twice. And I did like it, and I'm going to get it on Blu-ray. But the main reason that I saw it twice was I wanted to see what it was like in Dolby. I just wanted to experience it. I just love it. Like, the seat kind of vibrates a little bit. The picture is a little clearer. The sound is like all encompassing. It's like the seats are great. It's just a really awesome experience. So I was like, why not? I'm an AMC A-lister. I want to go check it out. And I did. And I was like, I was fucking blown away. And like I predicted, in this area, the AMC and the shops at Riverside, with the addition of the Dolby Theater, not like, and I think I touched on this last week, it's not up to the same level as the programming, because AMC's a chain. Jacob Burns Film Center, they're going to, and even I would throw in the Bowtie Cinema in Greenberg, New York, which is like 20 minutes away from Jacob Burns. The programming is not going to be as good, because this AMC is mainstream. It's going to play your Angels Has Fallen. It's going to play Spider-Man. It's going to play Hobbs and Shaw. And when there is a movie that's more of a small film, like an artisan film, even like a movie like The Art of Self-Defense, which Jeff and I talked about. I think we did. Jeff and I. No. Tim and I might have. Either Jeff or Tim. I don't. Oh my God, that's really bad. I think Tim and I talked about it. Ah, well, tweet at me. Aesthetically, I think I said this last week. That theater at Riverside Mall is terrific. It's outstanding, and I think because of the clientele that mainly populates that mall, that's the rich people mall. It's technically the white people mall, but since I live, it's near Fairleigh Dickinson University. It's like you're gonna get college kids there. And then because this area is so close to New York City, there's just gonna be different types of people. It's everybody. Everybody's gonna go to that theater. But what's not going to happen is not going to be a shit show like the Garden State Plaza. And I don't know what it is about this mall, but it seems like, and then I'm going to talk about the movie, but it seems like everybody goes to Riverside just to eat. Because when you walk in the mall, like, nobody's in there. There's all these cars. It could be packed. Nobody's like walking through the mall. They're just eating at Cheesecake Factory or Legal Seafood or Houston's or whatever, or PF Chang's. It's just like, that's all it is. Like, that's a place to take dates. You hang out with a buddy or something. But now with that movie theater, it's terrific. I love that theater. I really do. And with Dolby, I love it, because it's like, you don't have to be in the congestion of the Garden State Plaza. Based on the time, I'm kind of a time whore too. If a movie's playing at a time that I feel like I need, especially if I need it before a show or something, then I'm going to be like, you know, I'm probably just going to be like, oh, I'm going to go to this theater. But if it's just like convenience, that AMC with Dolby, like, I already got my ticket to see It Chapter 2 next week. I got to rewatch the first one, but I'm pretty excited to experience that in a fresh. It smelled good. And I think with that, like I was going to say before I cut myself off, Those people are going to clean, that place is going to be clean, and they're going to keep it nice for a long time, I think. I don't think that theater is going to go down because, and they have like good kids working there, like young kids, like kids that seem like they got their head on their shoulders, like they're trying to, they're like actually working, you know? So that's cool. And yeah, I'm in love with that theater. So Angel Has Fallen, not bad. I had one sleep. I wouldn't say it's because of the movie. It's just because it was, I had eaten, me and my buddy, great minds think alike. He wanted to, I was going to say, hey, dude, let's just go. He lives in Astoria. I was going to go see him. I was like, hey, dude, let's go to Astoria. Let's go to have Mexican food in Astoria. And he was like, and then this was on a Sunday. And he was like, well, I'm kind of in a mood for deep dish pizza. So I was like, deep dish pizza, we got to go to Emmett's in the West Village. So I texted him the link, the Instagram link to Emmett's. And he was like, and he said, yeah, I was going to say Emmett's too. I was like, hilarious. So we went to Emmett's and had deep dish pizza. And it was great, enough to take home and everything like that. And so I was kind of like a little lethargic and I dozed off. But overall, it's a fun action movie. One of the main reasons to see it is because Nick Nolte's in it. I don't know how much of a spoiler that is, but he was great as like a Ted Kaczynski type character that played Gerard Butler's dad. Some really good funny moments. Like, it was pretty cool. Like, I don't know if I'm softening a little bit. I don't know what's going on with me, but I feel like I'm kind of enjoying like these shared experiences. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm becoming more of a human than I thought I was, but I'm kind of like, there are moments that were funny in the movie and I was laughing and I was liking the fact that other people, that I was laughing with other people. I guess that's one of the few times that I'm actually a part of an audience. And I think because I've been doing stand up for so long that I sometimes forget what it's like to be in an audience when I'm at the movies, or definitely like not when I'm at a show, like at a concert or a play, but in the movies, a lot of times it's kind of solitary because of the times that I like to go. Like, it's like early afternoon, right after work, 4 or 5 o'clock. When I'm leaving the theater, when I'm leaving the movie theater, there's hordes of people that are starting to come in. And then I'm going, for the most part, leaving to go do a show. So all those other people are coming in, and early in the morning, you know. So I don't really have those experiences, but I've noticed like the few times, like I've even said, like when Rod and I reviewed Traffic, what was that, like last year or something? I noticed how there were like 8 or 9 people in that movie theater where it was like, yeah, we were partying. Like, we were having a good time. But and I felt that with this one, because this was relatively full. And the funny moments in the theater were like pretty, it was fun. So I'm pretty excited now that I talk about it. I'm a little more excited to see it. I think I'm going on Friday night. I don't want to see it on Thursday because I just want to be able to process it on a Friday and not think about like having to go to work the next day. Just like, you know, I don't know what it is. I'm not really being that weird about it. It's just like, oh, what's that going to be like? That's going to be fun because it's going to be packed. I'm pretty sure it's going to be packed on Friday when it comes out. I'm almost certain of it. So I would recommend, I mean, it's kind of dead right now. The homie Tim Hall told me not to go see Don't Let Go, but it's a black movie. So I'm like, I kind of want to support and I kind of want to see it because I like the trailer. I don't think, even if it is bad, if people say, you know, I don't take that hit because there's not that much, because I'm an A-lister and I'm not dropping 15, 16 bucks. I'm not buying a whole lot of concessions. I don't have a family. I don't have any kids that I'm paying. Like, it's not a $60 outing for me. So it's sort of like, it was all right. I didn't care for it too much. So it's not a lot riding on my day or my weekend or my finances if this movie turns out to not be good. My only thing that I'm struggling with now is just like, I'm looking at the times. I was looking at the times before I started this episode, and I'm just like, none of these seem to fit like right after I get out of work. Cause I may be in the space where if traffic's not bad tomorrow because it's a holiday weekend, maybe a lot of people took off, and then I can get to a theater where I can see it and have like a good, you know, have the time that I want and not have to stress out about, you know, traffic or getting somewhere, you know, after work. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay. So I have more to say. Action sequence is fun. Middle sequence with Nick Nolte, really dope. Adorable baby in it. I don't know about this sometimes. I just started to think about this, and this is probably me getting softer as I age. I worry about babies in movies. There was a scene where people are holding guns up to Piper Perabo, who plays Gerard Butler's wife, and she's holding a baby who's supposed to be her daughter. And this baby is crying her ass off. And it's like, fuck, man. Is that going to scar that kid? You know? Is that kid going to have PTSD from that movie? Like, what the fuck? Like, I was just like, oh my God. And then the baby was fucking adorable. And like, it's crying. Maybe they used two or three babies, but it was just like, oh man. And it took me out. It took me out of the movie. I was just like, oh fuck. Come on. And then I was like, now they got to kill these motherfuckers that are doing this. And then the scene kind of happened. It was pretty neat. But I was worried about that baby. I was worried about that little white baby. So the next movie I saw was The Peanut Butter Falcon, The Return of Shia LaBeouf in theaters. For the past few years, at least the past 5 years, I mean, he did that tank movie, Fuel. What was the name of that movie? Now I gotta look that up. Damn it. It was with Brad Pitt. Oh man. See, I'm running on a tangent, but you get an extra few minutes of the show. You like that, don't you? That helps your trip out if you're stuck in traffic or something. He did those Transformers movie. What was the name? Also, an underrated Shia LaBeouf classic, Suburbia. Really good movie. Really fucking good. Kind of a remake of Rear Window. A little bit of a retelling of Rear Window. Fury, 2014. Honey Boy, super excited to see that in 2019. American Honey kind of had a bit of a run in the theaters, but it was small. Peanut Butter Falcon, also like a small movie. But let me read you the blurb. After running away from a residential nursing home to pursue his dream of becoming a pro wrestler, a man who has Down syndrome befriends an outlaw who becomes his coach and ally. This was a really sweet movie. One of the things that surprised me was the fact that surprised me. I don't know if this had anything to do with the movie, but I thought I was going to cry. And I think I was in a headspace where I was kind of concerned or thinking about something else. And there was right at the moment where I felt like I was just like, I should be crying here. But I didn't. And that was, I think it was just because of me. I think I was emotionally like walled off, like blocked off. And I don't know if I gave the movie my everything that I could have. But this kid, this guy, well, he's a man. Zach Gottsagen was good. It's a really good cast. It was almost like, you know, this kid wanted to become like this wrestler named the Saltwater Redneck. Is that his name? There was a moment where I think it almost came to a point where I teared up a little bit, and I was just like, fuck, here's the moment. And I didn't allow myself to cry. But it's this 22-year-old kid who lives in a retirement home in North Carolina because nobody in his family is fit to care for him, and like that's in and of itself. And this kid, when he wants to be a wrestler, and this guy is in another town, and he's been watching these videos for the longest time, and he wants to go to this guy's wrestling school. And Shia LaBeouf is this guy who is a thief and a fisherman. He gets into trouble and he's on the run, and he meets this kid, Zach, and they become friends and go on this adventure. Kind of like a bit of like Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn type action, but the kid's down with, but Jim is Shia LaBeouf and the kid has Down syndrome. And then this Dakota Johnson is his caretaker, and she comes to look for him. And it was good, man. I really dug it, man. It was really good to see Shia in back, man. He's so good, man. He's one of my favorite actors, man. Like as far as the people, like obviously the OGs. I think I might have talked about this before, but like the OG actors that pretty much everybody knows and loves, like Denzel and Angela Bassett, Courtney B. Vance, Sam Jackson, yada, 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 you know, Morgan Freeman, blah, 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 Octavia, all of those folks, like, I rock with him, but he's my favorite white actor. Like, I love Shia LaBeouf, man, and I think I loved his work because the first time, I didn't know about Even Stevens. I had heard about it, but I think I was just a little too old to really know about that show. But I found out about him with this movie called The Battle of Shaker Heights. And it was one of those Project Greenlight movies with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon before Matt Damon got before Black Twitter canceled him. You know, he's like, I think black people should just, there shouldn't be any black. He didn't say there shouldn't be black people behind a camera, some shit. We got mad at him for some shit. And, what the fuck do you mean, Matt Damon? And he was wrong, but you know, whatever. Where they would, these people would, you know, directors and writers would, you know, enter this like competition or something, and then they would get to direct a movie. And Shia LaBeouf was the lead in this movie. And the movie was okay. It's a writers and directors. There was a writer and a director team that put together this movie. And it was a documentary. And I just remember Shia being like, once they gave him the part, he was like the glue of the film. And like all this stuff was like crumbling around him. But he managed to maintain put together a great performance, and he carried the movie. And so I just always remembered that, and I always just kind of fucked with him. And then when he started doing like the Transformer shit and blowing up, I felt like I was invested in his career. And so that's why I always fuck with him. And so I know he stumbled a few times, but most people do. We're fucking humans, bro. And I think he's like right. He's back on the right track with just like being focused and not ego tripping and just like really focusing on doing good work. And that's what That's what this one is. That's what this movie is. It's a small movie, but it's a good performance and interesting. A really cool cameo, like from a technical standpoint. They tell the story without really telling it. And it's almost, it's good. Like, it's, I like the way they tell that story. And it adds more depth to it. But they low-key didn't really need it. But since they did show it, I appreciated the way that they showed it. When it as it pertains to Tyler's backstory, I really fucked with it, and I told my coworker, one of my coworkers that I talk to all the time, she goes to the movies with one of her good friends, and she and I talk about movies, she's like, oh yeah, you know, my girlfriend was like, you know, she wanted to see this movie. I was like, you need to pick sometimes. You got to stop letting her pick and you pick something. And she said, well, what do you recommend? Do you recommend Blinded by the Light, which I have not seen? Or do you recommend Peanut Butter Falcon? I said, I haven't seen Blinded by the Light, but I recommend Peanut Butter Falcon. And she hit me up yesterday and was like, yeah, I really liked it. Actually, she hit me up this morning and was like, oh, yeah, I really loved it. It was so good. And she even mentioned the fact that she didn't cry. Like, she felt like she wanted to, but she didn't. And I felt the same way. So I'm glad. I got to talk to her more about that and see why she felt like she didn't cry. I felt like it was me more than the movie. Yeah, but I recommend it if you're looking for something to see. Maybe with your family. Maybe if you don't end up seeing it in the theater, I think it's going to be a film that you probably see on a streaming service and you'll be like, oh shit, Chris was right. Chris was fucking right. All right. So that is the end of the show for this week. What I would like to say, you can actually catch me doing what they call stand-up comedy. At, oh my god, I got tagged in this thing, so I should be able to freaking find it. Catch me at the Golden Spiral Comedy Show at Dream Baby in the East Village, 162 Avenue B at 10th Street. It's a free show. Doors open at 8, show at 8:30. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. And that is on Tuesday, Liquid Tuesday. The liquid you is when you. That's phonetics. I'm really being a fucking nerd. Oh my god, I'm sorry. This podcast needs to end. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you guys. And I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, folks.